Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, Andrew Farley joining us today, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. Every day on Basic Gospel, you hear the Word of God revealing true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It intersects with your life every day. We are live right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. And if you have a question or need direction for the tough issues of real life, call now. 844-32-BASIC. Lines available right now. 844-32-BASIC. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob and Andrew. We certainly welcome you to the broadcast today. It's been several weeks. It's going to be nice to hear your voice.
Hey, thank you, Bob. It's great to be back.
Well, it is great to have you back. We've been talking, Andrew, this month about emotional bondage and the renewing of the mind, how God's truth can set us free from all of the dark places that we experience. And, you know, as you read the Bible, you see a very realistic picture of life. You see all types of characters that experience disappointment, fear, anger, self-pity, depression, and despair. Peter, for example, was greatly disappointed in himself after he denied Jesus three times. Moses was fearful of leading God's people. Jonah was angry at God for sending him to preach to the Ninevites. And Elijah, you know, here was this great prophet, you know, one that the Jewish people really hold in high esteem, and we certainly do as well. But he wallowed in self-pity as he thought he was the only one who had not bowed the knee to Baal. David certainly suffered great bouts of depression. And then there's Job, who was just in total despair, having lost everything. So we see characters in the Bible that have been through some of the things that we go through here and today, and yet they found hope in God. And today we can find our hope in Jesus Christ, as Paul wrote, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." And I know, Andrew, you've helped many people through your ministry. You even have a book, The Hurt and the Healer, that directly addresses the emotional problems that we can experience in life. What are some of the things that you have found that really help infuse hope into people's situations and puts them on the right path toward freedom in Christ?
Yeah, Bob, you know, one thing I think is that people tend to freak out whenever they're feeling certain things. You know, it's almost like we've been subtly told in the Christian world that we're not allowed to feel certain things because, they just aren't very Christian. And so, you know, we end up dealing with bitterness or anger or resentment or whatever it might be. And then all we do is then feel guilty about feeling those things. And so we think we're unusual. There's something wrong with us. And what I love about the long list of Bible characters that you listed off there is that basically we can conclude from that we're not unusual, that, you know, these sort of feelings are very human emotions, and those emotions come from somewhere. And what the Bible tells us is that those emotions really come from our thoughts, that it's the renewing of the mind and the setting of the mind that is really going to bring us help in our time of trouble. So, you know, it's like our mind is a computer, Bob, and we've got this input coming in, and that's going to determine the output, you know, whether it's output on a printed page or output as a video. Computers are always producing output, but they don't produce output just from thin air. They've got input going in there. So, you know, that's why I think Basic Gospel is so important, in that we're giving people truth that sets them free. We're providing input. And as I begin to reset my mind and realize some truthful thoughts like, wait a minute, I'm human, these emotions are normal, but I don't have to let emotions control me and dictate my choices. Instead, I can let God's truth do that.
Yes, indeed. And I think that's such an important point you're making there, Andrew, as far as input is concerned, because as we just walk through daily life, we're constantly getting input from the world. And the world has a lot of sources of input into our minds. The movies we see, the television programs we watch, the billboards that we read just on our commute back and forth to work, just news that is coming at us at just warp speed. There's so much input coming at us from the world, and we take all of that in, and we process that, and oftentimes that's where we stumble. We can't discern what's of worldly origin and what's of godly origin, and we get confused, and that's why we need the constant input of the Word of God. We can't just expect that everything's going to be okay if we're not actively involved in listening to the Word of God, reading the Word of God, applying the Word of God to our lives. That's part of this renewing of the mind process that God has called us to, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I kind of liken it to a radio. You've got what I call Father's Mentoring Channel. You've got the FM dial, and then you've got alternative messages, all of these messages that the world has for us. So, you know, even after I've listened to FM for a while, you know, I've let my Heavenly Father mentor me, I've been tuned in to FM for some time, it's still very tempting. I mean, it's very tantalizing to be captivated by fear, to believe the idea that worry is going to add another day to my life, the idea that if I'm just consumed with something, that maybe it will get better by further and further analysis. And the enemy loves to feed us that stuff and get our mind occupied. But, you know, really our one job here is to consistently tune back in to FM, to Father's Mentoring Channel, and let him teach us and renew our minds. That's the only avenue to real peace.
Well, Andrew, I think we need to reverse that deal since we're on mainly AM stations right here. So somehow we need to fit that in so we can get it right on that. All right.
Right. That voice you're hearing is Andrew Farley along with Bob Christopher. My name is Bob Davis. Richard Piper is here. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We would like for you to really join us. If you have a question or something you'd like for us to discuss with you, give us a call right now if you can. 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC or 844-322-2742. That, of course, the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel. Give us a call. I want to hear from you.
Let's go down to Tampa, Florida, and talk with Jose listening to us today. Hi, Jose.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Nice to hear from you.
And nice to hear from you, too. I love your program. Been listening for about 2 months, and I sent you guys an email, but didn't get a reply, so I said, let me try today. Give them a call.
Well, I'm glad you did. Thank you.
Well, Jose, you did not get a response to the email. It could have been because we've been moving in the last couple of 3 weeks, and some things kind of got disheveled in different directions. And so I'm glad you called today, so we will answer that question as you post it on today's broadcast.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. My question is, you know, I was born, premature, 1 pound, 11 ounces. My mom was on, she was on heroin, but she's been clean for, 17 years. Praise the Lord.
Absolutely.
Now, I suffer from anxiety and depression, and I do take medication for that. But could it be that I do have it and I just have to accept it, I never had a father, God is, he is my father, when I read the Bible, I take his words seriously. So how do you develop like a healthy fear of God? And is SSI a sin? People tell me it's a sin, or it's a sin and everything, like everything's a sin. I mean, we sin every day. Who's perfect? We are sinners. It's just, people kind of want to put you, on levels where you're not, So, I ask people at church to kind of dodge the question, but I know you guys pretty much can break it down to where I can understand. That's why I love you guys, and that's my question.
Yeah, well, Jose, first of all, emotions are not sin. We don't need to feel guilty for just having very anxious emotions or very depressed feelings. It might be that the religious world would have us feel bad about those things, but the reality is then all we do is just end up feeling bad about feeling bad. And then it just escalates and things get worse and worse for us. But, I think we're going to just make sure, first of all, that you get a copy of this book, The Hurt and the Healer, that we talked about. One of the sections in this book is called When Life is Just Too Hard. And it's going to really guide you through some of the thoughts that make us anxious and how the enemy can give us thoughts on the movie screen of our minds. And a lot of anxiety is really fear about the future, fear about tomorrow, or even fear about this afternoon, or fear about an unknown future. And so then that fear builds and builds and builds, and then anxiety is born. And depression, of course, can just be being overwhelmed by a sense that there's nothing but despair, and the dark thoughts come in. And once we begin to latch on to one thought, and then we entertain that thought a while, then comes another, and then another. And so this book, The Hurt and the Healer, I think can really help you break some of the habits in your thinking and really show you what it looks like to have your mind no longer cluttered by all kinds of fearful thoughts, but instead just to recognize, number one, my feelings are not sin, but my feelings are coming from somewhere. They're coming from my thoughts. And how can I get new thoughts to replace those old thoughts? So, Jose, I think we'll just, first of all, make sure you get a copy of this, and I think it'll really be a help to you, brother.
Well, thank you. Could it be, you know, I really do have, you know, this is my third time. Could it be my mom's addiction that actually, you know, kind of put my brain, you know, a little mm-hmm. different? Could it be,
well,
you know, since she was using at the time, and
yeah.
I was a premature child and everything, could it be, yeah. you know, I'm not mad at her or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You just want to know the source of it. Yeah. I mean, Jose,
yeah.
first of all, yeah, my thought on that is that, you know, we may never know. You may spend your entire life not knowing if some sort of chemical issue, you know, influenced your physiology in some small way. But whether you're fighting with a physical ailment to some degree, or if it's entirely in your thought life and your choices, the answer is still going to be the same. And that's going to be that I have to just lean upon Jesus Christ and lean upon my understanding of who he is and who I am in this situation, no matter how hard it gets. I've got a situation where, you know, my mental state and my physical state and all that is affected every 8 weeks. I have hemochromatosis, so I watch this blood condition affect me. And so my mental condition is debilitating. It feels bad at times, and I have to just, you know, at those times, most of all, just lean further into Jesus Christ and not allow my physical symptoms to dictate how I treat people or how I respond in my thought life. And it can be tough. It's not easy. But I don't think we'll know the answer to your question fully on this side of heaven. But what we do know is the solution is always to get to know Christ and who you are in him.
Yeah. Jose, what I would suggest to you, we're going to put you on hold in just a second and send you that book, The Hurt and the Healer, and anyone else that would like a copy of that, it is available on our website at basicgospel.net. Just click the store link and you can find it under the book section right there. It is a wonderful, wonderful read. But Jose, as far as your past situation, how you came into this world, certainly under some trying times, some very difficult situations. I love what Paul wrote in Acts 17, actually what Luke wrote, and he said, "He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples. From one man he created all nations, and he decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries, and his purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us." So, Jose, your life up to this point, God's known every single detail. Nothing surprised him. Nothing took him by shock. But he has orchestrated those things so that you would seek him and find him in the person of Christ Jesus, and in finding him, finding everything. So I want you to take a look at your past and to stop and just kneel down and say, "Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for where I've been. Thank you for where I am today. And thank you that you are impressing my heart to know you, to find you, to experience new life in you. That's going to put you down the right path. The victory to depression, the victory to overcoming anxiety, that path to overcoming anxiety starts with a heart that says, thank you. So if you will look at your past and say thank you, I think you're on the road, okay?
Thank you guys so much, and God bless you. I love you guys, and I will donate. Trust me, I'll be donating.
Well, thank you so much, Jose. We certainly appreciate that. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a copy of Andrew's book, The Hurt and the Healer. You hang on.
And Bob and Richard and Andrew, for any of our other listeners who'd like to get a copy of the book, it's written in tandem, in conjunction with the lead singer of Mercy Me, Bart Millard. Of course, Andrew Farley and Bart authored the book together, The Hurt and the Healer, and you'll find it in the book section. You may have to click the book section a couple of times to get to the second page there. You'll find The Hurt and the Healer right there at basicgospel.net store, and then the book section, The Hurt and the Healer. Right now, plenty of open lines. Want to hear from you. That number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or you can dial the full number, 844-322-2742. Lines available, and we're on the air live so that you can be a part of the program and pose your question, get your answer immediately, as Jose did. So give us a call, 844-32-BASIC. And we will go to the next caller in just a moment. Right now, a question from Teresa, who writes to us from Arizona. This is a question kind of combined with a commentary, and it probably banks off of a program we did a couple of weeks ago. She says, I don't attend church anymore. I grew up going to church, but about 6 years ago, I started learning about how when Christians meet, we should be able to participate. We started meeting with a small group of believers, and it was based on 1 Corinthians 14:26. She says, I understand that the Bible talks about elders and bishops and their roles, but I don't understand how that means only a few pastors, associate pastors or youth pastors and so forth, are the only ones who get to teach and or participate. Every believer, she says, has a gift that they are given to be used for the body of Christ. I also like the fact that if anyone has a question or comment, it can be shared at the time we're meeting. All believers are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and He is the teacher. So there isn't the attitude that only the pastor has all the answers, so we rely on the Holy Spirit. If someone happens to bring a gospel commentary to the Bible, we can stop it right away. That didn't sound right. Contrary. Let me read that sentence again. If someone happens to bring a gospel contrary to the Bible, we can stop it right away. She says, I have a family that thinks I have fallen away from the Lord because I don't go to traditional church anymore. I tried to explain to them that as far as the church goes, I don't want to go and hear basically the same person teach over and over every week, like they're the only part of the body that matters. I like it if someone wants to bring a song, teaching, encouragement, or whatever they're able to share. Like it says in Hebrews, we meet to provoke love and stir up good works and exhort one another and to meet more often as we see the day approaching. Any thoughts you might like to share would be greatly appreciated.
Well, interesting comments that she is making about the church, and certainly there is this truth that we are the church. It's not an organization. It's an organism made up of people who have been called out by God to trust Jesus, to be made new, to be made alive in Christ. That's what the church is. And so, as believers in Christ, we're a part of that church. There are different viewpoints as to church. Certainly she's expressing her idea of what church needs to look like. Small group, everybody participating. That's one particular model. But that doesn't mean that everybody has to follow that model. Certainly, Andrew and Richard, she brings up a good point about the priesthood of the believers. We're all equal in the sight of God, aren't we?
Yes, we are. But it's also true. What this does overall is show the danger of building a theology on one verse. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says exactly what she says it says. But there are other passages that give a different aspect, not a different point of view, but different facets of this thing called church. For example, I mean, Paul tells us in Ephesians that some were given as pastor teachers to the whole body. So not everyone is a pastor teacher. There are specific roles that are played, And that doesn't mean that, that the person who teaches should, you know, jealously guard their time and say, I'm the only one who can ever teach. I mean, that's silly. But there are people that do that, just as there are people in the smaller house church venue that would say, if there's ever a designated teacher, well, that's wrong, too. That both extremes are incorrect. We've got to see what the whole teaching is about church and work together as the Spirit leads us to find out what my particular instance of church is going to look like, the group of people that I meet with regularly or semi-regularly.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't want to argue over structure.
No.
2,000 years ago, there were home churches. They had 12 people in them or 32 people in them. Today, we've got some churches with 500 or 5,000 or even 30,000 people in them. Imagine the organizational effort it would take to divide up that 30,000 people into little home churches of 12 or 15. And so, you know, there's a logistical nightmare there. And so I think we ultimately have to come down to what matters most here. Is it the size? Is it the structure, or is it the message? And really, it's all about the message. Structure has changed throughout church history, and I don't think we want to go too far down that road. We end up criticizing everyone that's of a certain size or shape instead of staying focused on the message of Christ in us, and we are the walking church.
Yes, indeed. As Pete Briscoe, who was here several weeks ago, said, the mission of the church is the message. It is proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, let's go to New York and talk with Lynn listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Lynn.
Hey, you guys. How you doing? God bless you richly today, Richard, Bob. Hey, Andrew Farley, God bless you, man. You are something else. I really appreciate you being on the air with
Thanks.
These guys for the last several months. And anyway, I just have a question. I had somebody tell me, I've been separated now for over three years with my wife. And somebody told me that I'm responsible for her salvation, you know, because she's not a Christian. And so, I mean, this has really got me troubled. You know, I mean, it's, am I responsible for somebody else's salvation?
Well, of course not. Yeah, that would be ludicrous. None of us can really be responsible for any other person's salvation. And in this case, your wife is an unbeliever. You are separated, and you go to the book of 1 Corinthians, and you look there where it discusses the issues related to divorce and separation and that sort of thing. And really, you just see that there is a freedom. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it's talking about if she wants to go, let her go. Certainly, you can have a heart that prays for her, but you're not responsible to save her.
Yeah, I mean, since we only got a minute on the air left here, so, I mean, this person said, you know, that, well, now you are, since you're still married to her. And I've been separated for over 3 years, and of course I want her to be saved. But, I mean, I feel terrible. I mean, like, the guilt for the last three plus years now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because I plan on divorce. It's the last thing I wanted to do, very last thing, but it's just without
right.
going into further.
Well, Lynn, for the sake of time, we'll have to stop here, but I want you to know that God's not the author of this guilt and this fear, that, if, you know, God is perfectly capable of saving her apart from you or through you, and you're not the one who's responsible for her eternal destiny.
Well, guys, thank you for being a part of this this broadcast. We appreciate so much hearing from each one of you who have given over the months and many times the years to keep Basic Gospel on the air. Together, we have a marvelous privilege to proclaim the love and grace and life of the Lord Jesus, and together with you, it is our hope to keep the good news coming. If you've supported Basic Gospel in the past, you are a terrific encouragement to us all here on the staff. If you have not had the opportunity to give in support of the ministry, we ask you to be a partner with us now. We need your most generous gift at this time to stay on the air proclaiming Jesus Christ. If this program is helping you find answers, then we ask you to help by supporting the broadcast with your donations. You'll find a support link in the header at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator at 844-41-BASIC. That's 844-41-BASIC. We hope to hear from you today. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob, Richard, and Andrew of the ministry team, Bob Davisine. God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.